Kayla Gibson was about to graduate from Masterman High School when George Floyd was killed. It was 1 a.m, and as Kayla scrolled through Instagram, she noticed that a lot of her white classmates were posting about what was going on.
At first, you know, it was nice to see, but then I kind of began to think about it, and I'm realizing that all of these people all of a sudden are learning about systemic racism, but they aren't really thinking about how they personally are perpetuating it.
A racial reckoning just wasn't happening at Masterman. It was happening nationwide, in the workplace, in the arts, on university campuses. In our region, Black students at the other selective magnet schools and private schools, like Friends Select, Episcopal Academy, and Agnes Irwin, were calling out their experiences with racism on anonymous Instagram accounts. Kayla decided to make a documentary where she actually got classmates to talk to her on camera about what they went through at Masterman. It's called 16.
Basically, we got the idea when we did a little bit of research and we saw that Black students make up 16% of the entire student population, and there were 16 speakers featured in the documentary, and also Masterman is currently ranked 16th in the nation.
Now, it's been more than a week since Kayla put her documentary on YouTube. So what are the students and the school doing about it? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Kayla, you're not only the filmmaker, but you appear in the film, talking about the times you faced discrimination. Tell me about your experience. How did you end up at Masterman?
I always did well in my classes. I just loved to learn, and my parents just wanted a challenge for me. And so I applied for sixth grade. I got in. It was nerve-wracking, but I made the decision to leave my neighborhood school, which was all Black, and come to Masterman, which was this huge school, and it was so diverse. I was never really used to being in classes with that many people who didn't look like myself. But it wasn't really until high school that I'd say I started seeing some of the ways in which racism was influencing my own experience, mainly through stereotyping. I was constantly labeled as angry, and it'd be funny because I'd make friends, but then a little while in they'd say, "Oh, I thought you were really angry and really mean when I first met you." It felt like no matter what I did, that was just always going to be people's initial impression of me, and it was really frustrating. And sometimes I'd have to sit back and really ask myself, like, am I mean? Like, am I angry? Honestly, the angry Black girl stereotype would sometimes trickle into classwork, believe it or not. I remember one time I was just, you know, I was sitting down paying attention to my teacher, and he stopped what he was doing. He was giving us instructions for a project, and he stopped his speech to say that I was giving him a death stare, and he didn't know why. And I thought I was being respectful, you know, paying attention. So there were things like that. And then there was also just this feeling that I think a lot of my Black peers also experienced, where it just felt like the bar was so much higher for us as Black students. You know, I remember my senior year, everyone's applying to colleges. One of the Black seniors, he was accepted into Princeton. And I was sitting in class, and two of my non-Black peers behind me were talking about his acceptance into Princeton, saying that they were surprised because he's smarter than he acts. And first of all, just the fact that they were comfortable saying that in the first place, but then there's also the fact that I was sitting right in front of them and they knew that and they felt comfortable saying that.
Shh. you know, some of those things never change. And that's what I was thinking about when I watched your doc, especially the hair thing. You had some students talking about their experiences with their hair.
Absolutely. It was always a big conversation. And, you know, I mean, everybody has hair, but for some reason, when it came to the Black students, our hair was this spectacle almost, and watching us take care of it was just so amusing. But then other ways, it can be detrimental and racially charged. And I know that Ethan Moreland, who was also a part of the documentary, kind of described an instance like this.
So yeah, I was trying to grow my hair, and it's important to take care of your hair. It's important to constantly comb through it so that it doesn't tangle up. And so I'm in school, I'm walking to my advisor.
A teacher pulled the pick out of his hair as he was walking to one of his classes.
And she was like, "You don't see me walking around with a toothbrush in my mouth. You don't see me walking around brushing my teeth all day. This isn't appropriate." But I see girls around me, white girls with scrunchies and hair ties and stuff in their hair, but that's not an issue.
You know, what I found really interesting were the ways in which Black girls were dress coded. This is something that constantly happens, it seems.
Yes. My friend Madison Tyler, kind of discussed this.
I remember I had on shorts, and so did one of my friends, but every girl in the grade had shorts on because it was around 90 degrees that day. A teacher came up to the two of us in the lunchroom and said that our shorts were too short and next time wear longer ones. But then I looked around in the lunchroom and she was talking to some of the white female students that had on shorts just as short, if not shorter than mine, as if nothing was wrong. What's the difference between me and them? Why do I get dress coded and they don't?
When you become so used to experiencing microaggressions at the hands of both students and teachers, and watching non-Black peers just stay silent, it just becomes a normal thing. And I know that Yende discussed this in the documentary too.
My name is Yende Mango.
I've heard and received many culturally insensitive and racist remarks throughout my time at Masterman. Yet even more prevalent than that is the lack of a response from the students around me. The lack of a reaction or just an acknowledgement that that's not okay.
After a while, you're not surprised anymore at the fact that people aren't speaking out. It can be for different reasons, you know, people wanting to protect their reputation or protect their image in the eyes of our teachers. But it gets to a point where it's honestly surprising when a non-Black person does speak up for you.
We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Kayla Gibson, a 2020 graduate of Masterman High School, about her documentary, 16. Kayla, what kind of feedback have you received after posting your documentary on YouTube?
One of my former teachers, who I developed a really close relationship with while I was at Masterman.
My name is Maeve Sue. I teach mathematics, 7th and 11th grade.
She texted me and she was just thanking me so much for creating this documentary and really amplifying my Black peers' voices.
To be willing to share their stories in that way, I was really hopeful that it could have an impact.
You know, I spoke to her when I first had the idea to even make it, because I was so used to, you know, Black students speaking out about how they were feeling, and teachers just saying that they felt attacked and singled out by the fact that we were speaking out.
The hope for the documentary specifically, as teachers and as staff members and as community members, students, et cetera, listen to these stories, that they hear them without defense. So often, if I tried to bring something up or somebody tries to mention a microaggression, it'll get kind of like pushed aside as, oh, you're missing that about race, or, oh, come on, like, you just misinterpreted that.
So do you think these kind of experiences, the experiences you and your other Black peers had, are unique to Masterman?
No, I don't think that for a second, honestly. I know that Central has been speaking out, same with Northeast High School, about, you know, racist incidents. You start to realize that it's always going to be everywhere you go.
So what comes next now, Kayla? Now that you guys have raised the awareness, have you come up with any action steps?
Yes. So I am a part of a group called Masterman Alumni for Change, and we basically have drafted a charter that is composed of a list of demands for Masterman administration that would significantly improve the experiences of Black students.
What are some of the demands?
One of the biggest ones is the recruitment and the retention of Black teachers at Masterman. As of right now, only 4 teachers out of 50 are Black, which is crazy because in Philadelphia, you know, there are just so many Black students, and it's so important to have the person who's teaching you, the person who you're really looking up to, look like you. Another demand is that a no retaliation policy is established, which would basically ensure that when Black students speak up about these racist incidents that they're experiencing, that there is no way for any teacher or student to retaliate, whether it be through, let's say, a teacher decides that they're not going to write you a letter of recommendation for college because you spoke up to them about how you were feeling.
Have you received any official response from the school?
The only thing that we were told was that they were going to contact the sub-superintendent and that my principal and the sub-superintendent together would look over the charter.
We reached out to Masterman Principal Jessica Brown to talk about what the administration is doing to address the issues raised in Kayla's documentary. Were you aware of the challenges and the instances of racism and racial insensitivity that Masterman students had faced?
A few years ago, we had a few students come to us and talk about some of the concerns they were having around feeling safe at Masterman in terms of, I guess, some of the ways they were feeling and their voices not being heard. And we did a few things. We created some initiatives around programming. We created initiatives on bringing in more diversity. We also began to work on a protocol for safe reporting and language in our handbook around, an anti-racist institution.
But they talked about things on the ground, Ms. Brown, like, you know, like little microaggressions that were happening and things that diminished them. And I'm wondering if there are things that you are doing at Masterman to try to create a different culture.
This summer, some of our students have taken the lead and created what they call dialogue in a race forum that we started to, at the end of June, meet every Tuesday night. And we have dialogue about issues of race, and it's student-led. So they may create a topic like implicit bias. And so through this dialogue, the start of a way to have more conversations.
How surprised were you when you found out that students felt this way?
You know, I'm still processing it, to be honest, because it's awful. It's horrific. I would never want any child to feel unsafe in you know, a school, particularly it's like a second home. So it's been awful, but I'm committed to, you know, making Masterman an anti-racist institution, and the staff is as well.
So Kayla, I know that you were accepted into Howard University in Washington, D.C. After what you experienced at Masterman, did you apply to an HBCU by design?
Yes, honestly. It just felt so right. Actually, during my junior year, I went on this tour that took me to 3 HBCUs. And on that trip alone, I made so many friends. And we were all on a bus together, and we watched Dreamgirls on the way there. And we were singing along. And so we're all on this bus on the way to visit these colleges, and we're jamming, and, you know, it's just
I just want to know who did Jennifer Hudson's part. Who sang, was that you, Kayla?
We all did. We turned it into a choir, honestly. And it was just so nice to, you know, some things just go without saying.
Well, Kayla, thank you so much for talking to us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
That was recent Masterman graduate Kayla Gibson. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Benyako, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with help from Sabrina Boyd Zirka, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.